Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Bears! What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Monday, December 30th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And before we get into today's daily pod, a victory podcast, an NFC East champion podcast, I got to tell you guys about our good friends. They're your good friends too at this point. They've been with the Go Birds family for years now. Window Nation. Window Nation, they are easy to work with. As you know, James had them come out to his house. They looked at his windows. They helped him out. It was something Emily had been asking him to do, and he did it. And they made it easy. The process was easy. And it always is a good call to replace the old drafty windows that help cut down those energy bills and keep your house warmer. And good news, the Window Nation end of year sale, you can still take advantage of it. You could do it today. You get 50% off plus another 10% on top of that. And never forget about the financing, 0% interest for 6 years. So if you're thinking about new windows, now is the time. Don't wait until 2025. Do it now. Window Nation's got top quality windows. So give your home the gift of windows this holiday season and make sure you call them. Set up a hassle-free visit. The sale ends December 31st, so call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com today. So the NFC East champion Philadelphia Eagles go out and smack Dallas around on Sunday. Truly just a dominating performance right away from the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson pick six. You knew that it was going to be a game they would win. I know the defense had that one drive where they gave up a touchdown, but outside of that, Dallas really got nothing going. The offense played great throughout the game. No matter who was at quarterback, they got the ball moving. Saquon got closer to the record, and as a result, man, do we got a lot to get into today. We're going to talk about the NFC East champion, what Nick Sirianni had to say about it. We're going to talk about Kenny Pickett, how he played, how Tanner McKee played. Also, the story of how Tanner McKee's first touchdown ball got from all the way of like the 30th row of the link back down onto the field and into the hands of Tanner McKee. So we're going to get into that. And then, of course, we're going to talk about Saquon and the goal of breaking Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record. We're no longer in hypotheticals. We are now at a point where we know how many yards it is. The situation is here. Nick talked about it. Saquon talked about it. A.J. Brown talked about it. I'm going to play for you guys everything they had to say. But before we get into all that, let's start where we always do. We can't break it now. You don't want to jinx it with how well this team is playing. On the schedule today, Nick Sirianni is scheduled to speak to reporters at around 3 o'clock. As always, that will be carried for you on WIP on the afternoon show, so make sure you tune in for that. I'll have all the good stuff on social media that he had to say. And then, of course, if you can't tune in, make sure you check out the Daily Pod tomorrow, where we will have the best things Nick had to say from that press conference. The injury report, obviously, Kenny Pickett leaves the game. Tanner McKee goes in. It sounds like Kenny entered the game with broken ribs. He spoke after the game about how some of those tush pushes weren't too fun on the ribs. He took some hits, obviously, that caused him to leave the game. Credit to him for going out there and playing with the broken ribs. Obviously, a huge game for Kenny in his career, as who knows what will happen next year. But he put some good tape out there. Maybe he'll be back with the Eagles next year. Maybe a team will decide to give him a chance to start. but he really helped himself today in his value. So the broken ribs is definitely something to keep an eye out for next week. I don't think you'll see Kenny Pickett under center next week regardless, but you know, potentially for the playoffs, will he be healthy? So that'll be something to monitor throughout the week. Bryce Huff leaves the game with a shoulder injury. No update on that, so we will see if he is back next week and what his latest is after really just coming back from injury too. So unfortunate to see that he dealt with that. He did return to the sideline. I think actually he might have got a snap or two, but sometimes you're able to return to the game and then the next day the injury is worse once you wake up and you know you're sore and all that. So we will see what happens with Bryce Huff throughout the week. But outside of that, they get through the game pretty healthy, which is definitely good news with the playoffs coming up. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into really, you know, we started the postgame pod with this, and I think it was smart of James to do it because the Eagles won the NFC East yesterday, and it shouldn't just be overlooked that they won it. I thought it was a good decision by Nick Sirianni to go to the postgame podium with the NFC East champion hat on, with the shirt on. Just a reminder that, like, it does matter that they won this division. So Nick was asked about winning the division, what it means, and here is what Nick had to say.
Yeah, it's exciting. We always want to do special things. I think winning a division is always a special thing, and then our goals are much bigger from here. I think we got special guys. It was fun celebrating in there when you're able to do this, and exciting. We'll enjoy this, and then we'll get right back to work because our goals are bigger than just winning this division. But this is a hell of a division with great teams and great coaches and great players, and so to be on top of that, and you guys walk in the building, there's always that area where it's just the champions, the NFC's champions. I walk by it every day on my way in and my way out, to see Coach Reed's pictures in there, and you know, Coach Doug's pictures, and you know, Carson, and Jalen, and Donovan, and all the great players, Michael Vick, and all the great players there that have contributed to NFC East championships. It's cool to add another one there. But, you know, we just want to get back to work. Well, again, like I said, we'll enjoy this and let's back to work.
I think it's so true. Like, when you talk about the history of this franchise, and obviously the history is more than just winning divisions, but Andy won the division all the time. Doug won the division. Donovan, Carson Wentz won the division. Like, they do have a long history of being, and I think over the past 20 years or so, the best team in the NFC East. And it's important to remember that when the season started, they were not supposed to win the division. People thought they could win the division, but it was them and the Cowboys pretty much neck and neck for who would win the division. Washington ended up being so much better than people expected. Obviously, Dallas falls off and that makes it a two-team race again. But if you would have said before the season Washington was going to get an outstanding year from Jaden Daniels, yeah, I think, you know, you would maybe go, it's not a guarantee. If you would have said you were going to say that Jalen was going to miss a game, if you were going to say they would start 2-2, I don't think you would have said they were definitely going to win the division. And they did overcome a lot this year, a lot of adversity, losing Jason Kelce, losing Fletcher Cox. Like, it just wasn't a guarantee that they were going to win it. So I don't think we should just look past it. I do think it's something fans should feel really happy about, something the fans should celebrate. I think sometimes with great teams, winning gets taken for granted, but Washington would kill to win the NFC East. The Giants would kill to win the NFC East. The Cowboys would kill to win the NFC East. So four teams set out trying to do it. Only the Eagles accomplished it. And there's a lot of teams around the NFL where winning the division would be a banner year that would be discussed for years to come. So yes, they have bigger goals, but don't ever take for granted the fact that this franchise is really, this franchise is used to winning, and it's not something all teams do. So I thought Nick's answer on the NFC East was a good one. The other big story I thought from the game was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Starts the game off with the pick six, sets the tone, brings it all the way back. He said after the game he knew he was going to score the second he got his hands on the football. Really kind of, if I remember correctly, goes untouched to the end zone, shows some good speed getting to the sideline, getting into the end zone. Nick was asked about Chauncey after the game. I unfortunately wasn't at Chauncey's locker when he talked. Sounds like it was awesome. Chauncey's always fun to listen to talk, but especially after he has a big game. He's a great time. So Nick was asked about Chauncey, and here's what Nick had to say.
That was really big. you know, got momentum going early. And, you know, we didn't start off great on offense. You know, I think we had 2-3 and outs after that. But yeah, anytime you can create turnovers on defense, that's special. We talk a lot about it, and these guys pour everything into it. You can really see them coming after the football, and then when they can get, you know, what Chauncey's so impressive about Chauncey is that when he gets his hands on the football, he finishes, you know, and that's a special talent that he has. You know, thinking about last week where he had the interception last week, whereas one, like, it was low on the ground. He had to double catch it to catch it, but he still finds a way to do it, and then he finds a way to do that. He did something like that in practice. The play was – I give a lot of credit to the coaches of them putting the players in that position. We had that play that we looked at and did in practice, you know, and Chauncey was right there the same way. It didn't end up in an interception, but he ended up in a really good spot, and we really talked about that. And then you know, so credit to the coaches for putting him in that position, but all the credit, you know, the most credit goes to the players for making the plays in those scenarios. So – that's what's so cool about this game, right? It's a team game, and I just thought it was big. You know, Chauncey responded in a big way, making big time plays today.
So look, I'll put my hands up and say it. I didn't think the Chauncey signing was a great one, and there's definitely been times here where he hasn't been great in coverage. Like, it is what it is. But Chauncey's been way, way better than I expected. And plays like today are exactly why. I mean, he does find his way around the football. Obviously, the two interceptions. Quinyon, probably a little salty he didn't get that one. Quinyon's first one was right there for the taking. But Chauncey sets the tone. He's a tone setter on that defense. And like I said to James in the postgame pod, you'd rather have a defense that you have to get to calm down instead of one you need to get to ramp up. And they are a defense that shows up to games at 150% ready to go, like not to be pushed around, not to be trifled with. And that's what you want from a defense. That is the attitude you want. And I think that starts with Chauncey. Jalen Carter has a big part of that. I think Nakobe underrated a big part of that as well. Kobe is a attitude setter for that team. But Chauncey's absolutely a huge part of it. And you can hear Nick's answer. He talks about in the facility, Chauncey's a popular guy, right? Giving gifts out to the cafeteria workers. I saw him giving gifts to some of his teammates in the locker room this past week. So he's clearly been a great addition. The play he made was huge. He's really helped that secondary. And yeah, all the credit in the world to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. If you want to say it feels like 2022, watching Chauncey absolutely kill it this year is certainly part of the reason why. So speaking of absolutely killing it, Kenny Pickett had a great game on Sunday. Now, what was interesting is, as I've mentioned, Kenny talked about playing through the injury. So here's some of Kenny talking about the injury and just the game in general. So here's some Kenny Pickett.
I just wanted to come in and do my part, man. You know, I said it to the quarterbacks, you know, on our way out in the tunnel before warm-ups, like, you know, just win at all costs. That's it. That's all I care about. You know, all I wanted to do to accomplish today was to get the win, you know, for the team, for the city, you know, keep the momentum going that we've had, you know, really good season so far. I wanted to keep that going, so I just wanted to do my part.
How would you describe Tanner's day?
That was awesome. So happy for Tanner, man. He's a great guy. You know, being in the quarterback room, you spend so much time together. You know, we watch a lot of tape together on the opponent, you know, for whatever week it is, you know, in the meetings and on the field and in the weight room. So happy for him, man. He does everything right. You know, special day for everybody in that locker room.
You have to tell him it's not that easy.
Yeah, no, man, he's good. He was prepared. Like, you know, we go through all of our checks together and anything that we could see out there. They were, you know, him and Ian were great when I came off the field on the sideline, you know, relaying and communicating what they were seeing and what to expect for the next drive. So, you know, really grateful for those guys.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Kenny moving forward. As I said, I'd be pretty surprised if he played against the Giants. I think if they decide to go for the record, it would be either Jalen, or if they're playing for the one seed, it would be either Jalen or McKee. I bet Pickett gets the week off there, because if you have to win it, then you're probably playing Jalen. We're talking about the one seed. Or if you're simply just going for the record, Tanner McKee can hand the ball off and you know, you can get it that way. So I thought Candy played well. Like I said, I thought he got rid of the ball well. I thought he made some really nice throws, some deep passes. Afterwards, players were very complimentary of Kenny in the locker room. AJ gave him credit for how well he played. And you could just tell all the work that they put in this week really paid off. There were not many times where they didn't look like they were on the same page. There were some passes from Kenny that maybe weren't great. There was the one that sailed over his head, AJ's head, as soon as he threw it on to start the game. But outside of that, I thought he was really, really good. So good showing from Kenny. I definitely think, you know, before we do the whole like quarterback controversy thing, like the main takeaway is Kenny helped himself today. And I also think the other takeaway is that if Kenny were to have to go a game in the playoffs, I think everybody would feel really confident about that. Maybe fans wouldn't feel as confident because obviously Jalen is the one that's won all these games for them. But I think Kenny was outstanding. And if they had to play a full game or if he had to come in midway through the second quarter or something like that, then yeah, I think they would be in a good spot. Finally, or at least before we get into the 2,000 yards of it all with Saquon, A.J. Brown, he catches a touchdown from Tanner McKee, Tanner McKee's first touchdown pass of his career. And as A.J.'s celebrating, he throws the football like 40 yards into the crowd. So watching it all from the press box, it was pretty funny. Like, you could definitely tell the fan at first was definitely thinking about it. Like, you could see his friends kind of like telling him to hold on to the football. He wasn't exactly just like giving it up right away. And it was also really cool to see all the fans, like from the first row, slowly word gets up that they want the football. And it goes up from like row 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 to 10 to 15. And it finally gets to the guy that has the football. They're kind of talking to him, the fans. It's like, come on, give it back. He walks out to the aisle, walks down, gives it to another fan who gives it to Big Dom, who then hands it to, and I feel bad, I put ball boy in my initial tweet. He's not a ball boy. He is has a big job with the team. Players shout him out all the time. Vice President of Equipment Operations, Greg Delmitros. So I felt bad about that. Wasn't a ball boy. But then Greg ends up handling it to Big Dom, and you know, from there it gets to AJ Brown, who gives it to Tanner McKee. So a really cool story. But I asked AJ about that after the game, and here's what AJ had to say.
You threw the ball in the couch, you realize what you did?
When Nick told me on the sideline, and I felt so bad because I threw it so far. So glad we got it back for him.
Thank you. It was like a pretty big team effort to get that ball back. Were you following it?
Yeah. That's a good thing. We got great fans here. You know, they brought the ball back. So I gave him a jersey in exchange. So,
what'd you say to Tanner when you gave him the ball?
I just told him I apologize and congratulations. It's well deserved.
So much were you excited to see him get a chance to finally play in this game and play well?
He stepped in. He stepped in. We didn't think he was going to play, you know. We know Kenny was a little banged up, but Kenny was a warrior. He was fighting all day, you know. But he stepped in and he did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I think the part about the great fans is definitely true there. You know, not all fans would have given it back. And I know that he ended up, I know that he ended up getting the signed jersey. But just seeing all the fans work together in the crowd was really cool. Like, everybody definitely decided and recognized that Tanner's first touchdown ball, the team wanted it back. And I think it's the right thing to do. And it's cool the guy got the jersey and everything. But Tanner McKee should have his football. I always think about this when people catch, like, valuable sports items, whether that be a home run ball. And look, if it's worth like $3 million, I'm not in a position to tell anybody what to do. But I think if we can all take a step back and admit, like, Tanner McKee deserves to have his first touchdown ball. He's worked his whole life for that moment. That's a really cool moment for him. And credit to the fan for giving it back to him. I'm not criticizing the fan at all. But I think in general, like, athletes should get to keep their items. And so I'm happy that that Tanner got it. Outside of that, it's funny with that game. There's really not a ton to get into. Like, they won 41-7 or whatever it was. It was never really close. And it'll be an interesting week. And the reason it'll be an interesting week is because of the Saquon Barkley of it all. So we are going to get into that on the other side. Talk about Saquon's quest for the all-time rushing record, what his teammates had to say, what Nick had to say, and talk about just how real it is. So on the other side, we will talk about Saquon Barkley and the potential of making history next week. But first, a word from our sponsors. So all year, or not all year, but over the past 5-6 weeks, we've talked so much about if Saquon should go for the all-time rushing record. And man, we're right at the spot where it's kind of where everybody was like, So first, before we get into the all-time rushing record, he does pass 2,000 yards. He's one of only 9 running backs to ever do it. Chris Johnson tweets him congrats. Like, very cool to see him break 2,000 yards. So Saquon, and definitely one thing I've learned about Saquon in covering him is he's definitely a big student of the game. Like, he's well aware of all the history. He watches a lot of former running backs. So Saquon is asked about passing, you know, getting 2,000 yards, and here's what he had to say.
Was 2008 a goal of
you? I'm guessing you guys are going to ask the same
question. Was 2008 a goal of yours this year, or something you thought was possible going into the year?
Yeah, you never go into it with 2,000 on your mind. For me, my 2,000 mindset would be more all-purpose because how I was kind of used, you know, in college and coming into the league, catching the ball a little bit more. But when you got A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert and Grant and Smitty, you know, you really don't have to catch the ball that much here. You just got to be able to run the rock. But it definitely came in, you know, a thought when probably when the conversation started coming around. I was like, oh, wow, like this is something that I really can accomplish. And, you know, the O-line was all about it, too, and they wanted to do it.
The reason I think it's important to highlight the 2,000 yards is because if he doesn't set the record, 2,000 yards is still pretty wild. It's still pretty wild. We watched a running back run for 2,000 yards. I find it hard to believe unless it's Saquon. I shouldn't say that because you never know. But I think it'll be a while till we see another running back run for 2,000 yards. Once Saquon is not on the Eagles, and hopefully that's a long time from now, I think it'll be a while until another one gets 2,000. So definitely, you know, witness history on Sunday for those that were there. A very cool moment. But obviously now all eyes turn to next week. So here's where Saquon is at. He got 167 yards on Sunday versus Dallas. He is now at 2,005 yards on the season. The record is 2,105 yards by Eric Dickerson. So that means Saquon is 100 yards away from tying it and then 101 yards away from breaking it. Now, in order to break it, he's obviously going to have to play next week. So Saquon was asked about playing next week, and here's what Saquon had to say.
What was the difference in the second half? Like, up until the last minute of the first half, I think you only had like 25 yards.
Let's just say, you know, in pregame, one of my good friends, I'm not going to mention names, saying you're going to have to break that record next week. So everyone's aware what we were able to do, what we were close to doing. So you could definitely say the mindset was, you know, not letting that happen. But with that being said, I think everybody else stepped up and made the plays what we needed to do. And, you know, once we were able to throw the ball a little bit, we were able to get the run game going. And we also didn't go away from it. You know, they gave me a chance to get the 2,000, and also appreciative of that too.
I think it's pretty clear Saquon wants it. And, you know, Ike Reese made this point on the pregame show a few weeks ago, and I couldn't agree more. Ike, you know, obviously said it better than I can. But Saquon should not be shamed by anybody for wanting the record. Yes, Saquon wants a Super Bowl. They all want a Super Bowl. But it is not selfish if Saquon wants to play next week. It's not silly to go for a historic record. If he sets this record, it is a massive moment for him that he's worked really hard for. It's a massive moment that all the offensive linemen will have worked for, all the team will have worked for, the coaching staff would have worked for, Jeff Stoutland would have worked for. So if they go for it, I do not think at all this is like, you'll hear a lot this week of like, well, Saquon would want a Super Bowl. And yes, Saquon does want a Super Bowl. It doesn't make him a bad guy if he wants to go for it. So that's just my takeaway from listening to Saquon. I know he said if it happens, it happens. All those things are true. I get that. I think Saquon wants it, and I think they should go for it. But before we get into that, in order to go for it, they're going to need to play next week. Nick Sirianni was asked about that, and here is what Nick had to say.
Again, I'll handle that as we go. I'm not thinking about that quite yet. I will get there, you know, probably later tonight when everyone's still celebrating. I'll be thinking about that and what we need to do. Our goals are bigger. You know, it is a true – I was saying earlier, I think before you got in here, you know, it is a true big-time accomplishment to win the NFC East of all the, you know, all the great teams that have won the NFC East in the past. So that was special. But our goals are bigger than just to win that. You know, we want to win our first playoff game and win our second playoff game and win our third and all the way to the end. And so we'll take that one game at a time. I'll do what I think is necessary and best for the team to put ourselves in that position. But I also am very sensitive to records and all the things there. And so we'll see how it goes. I don't know yet. You know, but we'll always do what's best for these guys. And that could be mean play them. That could mean rest them, right? It could be either one. I got to think about that. Looking forward to going out in the field and having it and playing catch with my kids after this. So, and then I'll think about it later.
So Nick, also very much a student of the game. Nick is very into like history and documentaries of sports. I'm talking about like, so I think Nick would love to be a part of it. I think Nick would mean a lot to Nick to be out there when the single season rushing record is broken. I think it would mean a lot for the franchise. So that's kind of like where we're at right now. 101 yards away from breaking it. What a perfect number to make everybody debate what they should do. It is certainly something that will be debated all week. I'd be surprised if the Eagles said early on what they're going to do. And then I wanted to kind of, well, one more thing. So the Eagles game on this next weekend is not set yet. Like, it'll be the Giants, but we don't know if it'll be Saturday, if it'll be Sunday, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever. I wonder if the Eagles said to the NFL, we are going to play Saquon and go for the record if they don't get the Saturday primetime game. Like, it's against the Giants, big market. It's the Eagles, a big market. It's history. You know, it's something that obviously like the number one seed, we'll see what's going on with that. But if the Eagles tell the NFL they're going to go for it, I think the NFL would love to put them in a primetime spot. So that's one thing to consider. But I wanted to end the pod with this. So this is AJ Brown talking about going for the record and if you want Saquon to do it. And here's what AJ had to say.
Excited for him. He was trying so hard, guys. He was trying so hard. You know, I told him to get it done, but be safe. And I'm happy for him.
Do you want to see him go for the all-time rushing record next week?
Of course. Why not? You know, I want to be a part of that. You know, so looking back on the years, I'll say, hey, that's my teammate. You know, and he did it.
It's viewed as a Saquon thing, but you just said it. Like, what do you think it would mean for the team if you were to set that record?
It'll mean a lot, you know. History purposes, you know. Like I said, I like to say when I'm talking to my kids, I was a part of Saquon when he did that, you know, part of the team when he did that. So who knows what happens next week, so we'll see.
I think that's an important piece of audio to end with because all week, and I just said some of this, but all week it'll be viewed as a Saquon thing. But I think everyone in that locker room wants it. I think all the main characters on this team would definitely want him to go for it. Maybe not like Lane Johnson because he's, you know, an older veteran. Like, I kind of get that stuff about rest and, you know, I don't think that speaks negatively on Lane at all. I get some people would want to rest. But man, you hear AJ talk about it and about telling his kid he was on that Saquon team and just being a part of the history of it all. Just don't look past it. If you're driving in your car, working out, listening, whatever, I understand the health aspect. I do. And man, I know it's a tough call. But the history of it, you want to talk about a special season? You set the all-time single season rushing record. I don't know, man. That's hard to pass up. And the other thing I'll say is Saquon was talking about, you know, breaking it in 17 games versus 16 and all that. And he brought up like OJ did it in 14 and whatever. I think a good way to look at it is attempts. So Eric Dickerson did it in 379 attempts. Saquon is at 345 attempts. So he would have to break it in 33 carries to do it in fewer carries than Dickerson. And I kind of think that's the fairest way to look at it. So look, we will get into this all week. I can't wait to talk to all you guys about it. I'm sure on GoBirds Radio we'll talk about it a ton. I'll talk to you guys before New Year's, but in case you don't listen to the pod before New Year's, Happy New Year's. I love you all. Maybe set a good New Year's resolution about the rushing record. You never know. Maybe you can make it happen. So thank you guys for listening. What a win by the Eagles, NFC East champs on the brink of history. It's going to be a fun week, and it's going to be a fun New Year. So talk to you guys later. But until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.